Your word, O Lord, is truly a light unto our feet and a light for our path. It is the nourishment of our souls, which we so desperately need. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of a Son, and of a Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. The word for today is personification. I call that kind of like a $10 word. Personification is figurative language in which we attribute human characteristics to something which is not human. We have multitude of examples of personification in our own language. One example which happens in newsrooms across America, quote, and there was no comment from the White House. The White House is a building, and we all know buildings can't talk. But we know what the newscaster was trying to communicate. There was no comment from the President of the United States, or there was no comment from the President's press secretary. We also have illustrations of personification used in Scripture, such as the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the mountains and the hills will break forth with shouts of joy. We all know trees can't clap their hands, and we all know hills and mountains can't shout for joy. But if they were able to do so, they would praise God, and their very being bears witness to God's order, majesty, and power. At this point, I don't have this written in my notes, but I'll just go ahead and say it. If you can come to the Grand Canyon and say that you are an atheist, that shows the depth of foolishness. The foolishness. We didn't put that there, God did. And you're a fool if you cannot own up to that fact. And really, that's what the book of Proverbs is warning about. Don't play the fool, act wise. And for us, that also means be humble. In Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, we have the personification of wisdom. As wisdom speaks and shouts into the streets, lifts up her voice, inviting people, urging people to pay attention to our message. In both wisdom's invitation and warnings, we have these invitations to come and learn and the warnings to not reject her counsel. And that really is the essence of her message in Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. So my 2 points are wisdom's invitations and wisdom's warnings. So first of all, wisdom's invitations. Proverbs 1, 20 and 21 says, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square at the head of the noisy streets. She cries out at the entrance of the gates in the city. She utters her sayings. Wisdom is present in God's word, and it calls out to people with an invitation to come and learn. Wisdom moves boldly in the streets of cities and towns, seeking to draw people to her. And we are to hear, heed, and obey the voice of wisdom. As Christians, we are to look conscientiously and faithfully to apply these principles and virtues of wisdom. Ultimately, the perfect reflection of wisdom is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus imparts both wisdom and courage to all who will trust in him and walk in the fear of God. We have promises to those who heed this message of wisdom. The promises are given in Proverbs 1:23 and Proverbs 1:33, which say this, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But he who listens to me shall live securely. and will be at ease from the dread of evil. God in his wisdom sends forth his Holy Spirit to teach the wise his word. But those who have ears to hear, wisdom reproves. And when those who obey shall dwell in hope and be at rest without fear from the presence of evil and from the dread of it. God in his mercy gives the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit, who gives us assurance that we are God's children. And we are secure within God's family and rescued from the dread of evil, so that whatever else happens to us in this life, whether it's a bad economy or tragedy or death of a loved one, we never need to fear the dread of evil. We're reminded by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Whatever difficulties we may face in this life, if God is for us, if we are forgiven of our sins, then we are free from the dread of evil. And so as the people of God, let us be wise and hold on to these promises. God has given us these promises by his grace and his mercy. And we need to be wise and embrace those promises. Now, my second point and the remainder of my message is really about the warnings from wisdom and her message. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 1:22, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." The phrase simple-minded is not a positive virtue to have. The simple-minded are urged to not remain like that, but to grow in wisdom. In order to grow in wisdom, we must cast off scoffing and love knowledge. The ones who are simple or willfully ignorant are the ones who perish because they have chosen the way of ignorance and are destroying themselves by their carelessness and their inattentiveness. It's just like being on the road and you're driving and you're not paying attention to whatever you're doing and you veer into somebody else. The warning is, don't do that. This life is serious. Right now counts forever. Hell is real. Don't be asleep at the wheel, or else you're playing the part of the fool. And the message in wisdom and God's mercy is, don't be a fool. Be wise. Pay attention to what you're doing. In Proverbs 1:26, the text reads, "I will also laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your dread comes." Derek Kidner makes this helpful comment in his commentary on Proverbs, quote, "I will laugh is not an expression of personal heartlessness, but of the absurdity of choosing folly and the complete vindication of wisdom," end of quote. God is warning us about the consequences of sin and foolish ways and the path of these habits which lead to destruction and death. Proverbs 1:31 says this, "So they will eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices." Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences." I'll say that again. Quote, "Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences." We can become dominated by our sinful passions and desires, and when we do that, we sit down at the banquet of those consequences. Back in Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7, God warns Cain right after his sacrifice was rejected with these words, then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Notice that God is warning Cain to control his anger, which rages like a wild beast. And if he doesn't battle against his sinful anger, it will take dominion over him, and it will lead to deeper levels of sin. And in his case, it did, as he committed murder against his brother, Abel. If he would have turned away from his sinful rage, he would not have murdered his brother, and he would have been able to also offer a righteous sacrifice. But because he stewed in his anger and he refused to heed God's warning, he fell into greater sin. Let us notice also the words of Proverbs 1, 29 and 30. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof." This is precisely what the writer of Proverbs is warning us about. Let us pay careful attention to what paths and what habits we are forming. Sooner or later, everyone sits down to a banquet of consequences. The banquet of consequences of sin is not good or beautiful. But those who, without discernment, get solidified in their ungodliness because of their arrogance, which is the worst of their vices. They refuse to heed wisdom. The one who refuses God's word of wisdom is described as one who hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. As we have heard in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. As we consider the fear of the Lord, I want to think about various attributes which are intertwined with the fear of the Lord. Contained within the fear of the Lord is reverence for, trust in, and obedience to the Lord. We must have a genuine reverence for God, which is a holy respect for the living God. Just as Isaiah was confronted by a vision of God in the temple, and the doorposts of the temple shook, and God's angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah felt like he was falling apart. And he said, "I am a sinner, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord, the King of glory." We must have this holy respect and reverence for Almighty God and realize that we are sinners in His sight. Exodus chapter 37 verses 6 and 7 gives us this brief synopsis of the being and character of God. "Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation.'" Let us have a holy respect and reverence for God, who has revealed himself in his word as both holy, pure, compassionate, and just. He forgives the sins of those who cry out and trust in His mercy. But this same God who is compassionate is also just. In the Ten Commandments itself, God says that he will visit the iniquity of the father on the children and grandchildren of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And there's the key. God does not arbitrarily judge fathers, children, grandchildren, third and fourth generation. It's of those who hate me. And so if fathers, children, grandchildren, third and fourth generation continue to hate him, he won't judge them. But he shows love to thousands of those who love him and keep his commandments. There's the difference. Obedience follows behind faith, and ungodliness follows behind unbelief. Those who fear the Lord trust in his promise of forgiveness and truly repent of their sins. We don't ever reach a state of perfect obedience, but genuine faith in the Lord shows evidence in obedience to God's word. And even in those areas, and we all are there, where our obedience is inconsistent, a fear of the Lord also includes the earnest desire, Lord, I want to obey. Help me overcome my wayward heart. The consequences that the writer of the Proverbs warns about in this passage is more than just common sense. For the wicked don't always experience outward catastrophe and destruction in this life. The promise given in the final verse of this chapter is that the one who listens to God's wisdom shall dwell securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Since the foolish and simple one refused to heed God and his word of warning, then he will face the dread of evil. The worst dread of evil is dying in a state of unbelief and unrepentant life, in which one must face the living God, the very one he has ignored and rejected all his life. And that is the worst dread someone can ever face. Hell is real. And if you don't believe in it, and you go all through life, and finally you meet the living God, it's too late then to think about, oh my God, what have I done? So don't be the fool that dies and then finds out the hard way. Wisdom says you take heed from God now instead of just waiting forever and a wait and see. If you wait and see, you played the fool. Let us be those who shrink not into destruction, but those who have faith in the Lord to the preserving and blessing of our souls. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many words of wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs, and we pray that we may accept your word with all readiness and store it up in our hearts. Help us to treasure the scriptures more than we value silver or gold. We ask for your help to search out the truths that are hidden within its pages. We pray that we may continue to develop a deep and reverential fear for your holy name and hide your truth in our hearts. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.